flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let us go around the NFL on this Wednesday in the loop, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans and you can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from your from your app store today. They'll take care of the process for you and find the best price on the market. That's Quick Assist, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And I did mention this, the Bills Mafia, they've done it again. They can be annoying sometimes. They do the weird thing where they jump into tables for no good reason. all sorts of odd things, but this is a thing that they frequently do that makes you go, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not there might not be that bad. You recall this weekend that the Bills got a huge victory over the Baltimore Ravens, and it came at the expense of one of the really good Ravens, a dude who will probably have his number in their ring of honor or some point. This weekend makes it a little tough, but Mark Andrews had a real tough fourth quarter. He fumbled. He missed what should have been an easy catch, reeling in for a two-point conversion that would have tied the game very late to the end. And, you know, when things go wrong for other teams, when things ultimately really help the Bills, the Bills Mafia decide that they are going to not necessarily mock, although I imagine they do that some. They decide that they're going to donate, and they did that again. Apparently, a group of the Bills Mafia caught wind of negativity that was going towards Mark Andrews, including like death threats. Which, why do y'all jokers do that? And not you in particular, but just generally. Why do fans do that? Where they go, oh man, I'm going to threaten this person's life. It ain't that deep. It's never that deep. But yeah, death threats and all sorts of things. And Bills Mafia said, we would like to counter that negativity with positivity. They raised money for Breakthrough T1D, which is a nonprofit that funds research towards therapies and treatments for type 1 diabetes. And Andrews, who is a type 1 diabetic, has supported the charity in the past. Apparently, as of yesterday, probably about midday, I don't know what the numbers are now, but the fundraiser had raised, I think, they tried to raise $5,000. They raised up to $20,000.
They are up to $60,000. According to Adam Schefter, 2 hours ago, up to $60,000 that they've raised.
$69,000 is the up-to-date number. $69,008 is what they have raised, because the Bills Mafia, while they are some weirdos, they also just love putting money down and raising money for causes of the athletes that have helped their team out. Which, I mean, if you're going to take your kind of sports mm-hmm. fandom and channel it for good, this is what it looks like, right?
This one feels a little different, doesn't it? Like,
really?
It's almost, look, good for...
What, you mean pity donation? You don't like pity donation?
Yeah, kind of a mocking donation this time. Usually they
have, oh, look at you doing charity for bad reasons.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. The good news is they're raising money.
That's right.
You know, so good. That's awesome. Breakthrough, what is it? Breakthrough TD or something like that?
Yeah.
T1D. T1D for type 1 diabetes.
Correct.
That's the good news. Just the whole feel of this feels like they're kind of going, ha ha, we'll throw you some money. You know, we'll throw you a couple of bucks here and there.
That's right.
Appreciate the effort.
But ain't it better than just ha-ha?
No, it is.
There you go.
Like I said, ultimately it is, but it just feels a little different.
This reminds me of the time, oh man, I always forget the year, and it should be easy for me to go back and find it, but the year that they were on the brink of making the playoffs, and Tyrod Taylor went ahead and you know, got them a win in the final week of the season, and then they were waiting on was it Andy Dalton, and was it the Bengals?
Might have been.
Try and get them over, and Andy Dalton had he came up, played pretty well, and the team that they needed.
See, that one felt different than this one, right?
They were like, "Yo, hey, Andy Dalton, here's all this money.
We love you, Andy.
We appreciate you getting the building.
We love you."
And I was like, "Where's all that money for Tyrod Taylor? Tyrod Taylor got y'all to the playoffs."
Yeah, but that's a great illustration of what I'm talking about. Like that one is like, "Hey, man, not a baby. We're here for you." This one is like, "Ha ha, here's some money."
Yeah. Well, I mean, again,
And the money's there.
To be fair, if they had tied the game up, the Bills probably still win that game.
Well, that would have had to have been a lot that happened.
I think the Bills still probably win that game. And maybe that's just too much opinion there. There's still a likelihood or a possibility that the Bills win that football game.
Yeah.
But dropping that football made it abundantly, made it very much the case that the Bills won. So, hey, man, it's still the same.
Yeah.
It's still the same.
Not quite.
But some other things around... some other things around the NFL. Shout out to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Boy.
Who... if Down Bad speaking was an NFL franchise, and I'm not donating to no charities.
Yeah.
If Down Bad was indeed an NFL franchise, it would be located in Jacksonville, play at Everbank Stadium, and be named the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars exist as the down baddest of down bads, as Liam Cohen, who is the offense coordinator for the Buccaneers, he's done a great job, helped in, I don't want to say necessarily the resurgence of Baker Mayfield, but in this really great offense that they've had and the opportunity, they were putting up points this year.
Yeah, they were.
And Liam Cohen was one of those. I mean, he was on, he basically is the Ben Johnson of last year, is he not? Where people were looking for him. He has withdrawn his candidacy for the Jaguars head coaching job, and I believe he will remain with the Buccaneers as office coordinator. And it seems like some of this was due in part to the he said he will return the Buccaneers on a new contract, and he just did not want to deal with the situation that the Jaguars have. And when I say the situation, I mean Trent Baalke.
Yeah, Trent Baalke is Jack Easterby.
He is ruining things for them.
No, we experienced that here. Oh, is Jackson going to stay there? I'm out. No,
but at least it was like 2 years of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, they going on. How long he been there, man? He been there for a minute now.
Yeah, but
I am amazed that he survived Herb. He brought Herb in there, and like Herb did all the things to make them look like not even just like a bad team, like a dysfunctional team. And he was just like, "Don't worry, I'll hire someone else."
Yeah,
and he was still there. You get to stay after making that type of mistake.
No, the word is out. We're good now. There are reports that Robert Saleh is going into Jacksonville for a meeting with Shad Khan and Trent Baalke. I wouldn't be surprised if Saleh says...
Saleh's like, "Nah, I'll go back to San Francisco and be a D coordinator. Don't worry about it.
I'm all right. I can wait. They're still paying me."
And here's the thing, right? They'll still get a coach and probably one of a moderately decent repute just because there's only 32 of these.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's not enough of these where everybody can turn it down. However,
but he did.
A lot of people are.
But he did.
A lot of people are. And so, wow, Jacksonville, you got it. At what point? How many times being turned down do you then go, "All right, I feel like we should make a change because the market is telling us something about the way that we've operated."
That's my thing. If I was the owner, I'd be like, "Man, what is wrong? Like, you know what? Let's make a change because what we've been doing the past couple of years ain't working."
The point has passed us already.
Are you not embarrassed?
Yeah.
That's the question that I'm ultimately
asking. It's on Shad now.
Like, bro, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
They're in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love it. Yeah. So, hey, man, we'll see if that keeps going. I asked Chris this yesterday, but Lou Anarumo hired as the defensive coordinator of the Colts. Does that at all, I don't know, is that something that you're concerned about or whatever? I keep using the word concerns.
But moderately, right? Moderately.
He was in charge of a defense that wasn't very good last year, but he has been one of those guys that is well-respected as a D coordinator.
I think that's the key.
Okay.
Like, he's been a guy that's been around, done it, had success, but moderately only because this division is garbage outside of the Texans. And nothing really scares me on this.
Yeah, especially the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. Coaching hires that are going on that could possibly, I mean, maybe affect the Texans in some ways.
I think a couple are.
The Patriots are going for their third stint with Josh McDaniels as an offensive coordinator. They will hire him for the OC to be under Mike Vrabel here. And this is one of the places where you're looking at Could they see staff siphoned?
I think two openings right now will directly affect the Houston Texans. The first one is this one. With what Vrabel is doing, brought in Josh McDaniels. If you look at the Texans staff, and I haven't done it recently, but it hasn't changed yet.
wait a minute. What was that?
If you look at the Texans coaching and scouting staff and pro football staff, like the coaching staff is kind of heavy Niners, you know, connection.
Sure. I mean, and that makes sense. The head coach was with the Niners, yeah, and then the offensive coordinator.
But not completely.
Was with the Niners.
It's heavy Niners connection.
Mm-hmm.
The scouting staff is heavy, heavy Patriots.
Again, yeah, that makes sense with the connection that Nick Caserio coming from there.
Heavy Patriots. If you go through it and you're killing some time, look at the track record of some of the NFL personnel on this staff. It stands to reason that Vrabel and McDaniels are going to, you know, cherry pick some of those guys.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, for opportunities to advance. So that's going to be something to watch. Another one that's possible to watch is a man who played here,
mm-hmm,
Aaron Glenn. It seems like he is getting closer and closer to possibly being the Jets head coach. I know that yesterday was reported that he flew back to Detroit on Woody Johnson's plane with no deal done, but it seems like there's generally just a feeling that he is moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be one, in your estimation, that also possibly affects this Texans
runoff
or coach staff?
Absolutely. Aaron Glenn he lived in this city for a long time, connected to the Texans, including D'Amico Ryans, and people that D'Amico Ryans knows for a long time. Hell, remember, you might not have even been here. He used to be a regular guest on this show. Like, he was just killing time, you know, before he even went to New Orleans. And he would come in and we'd talk football, chop it up with Aaron Glenn. He is deeply entrenched in the Houston area, including coaches on the current staff, including, you know, some other NFL personnel on this staff. I think Aaron Glenn could maybe cherry pick a couple of people off of this organization as well.
And that would really hurt if they go the way that you've kind of felt, which is, hey man, kind of keep the staff, figure out the offensive line.
Yeah.
But if you have this staff also picked at, that'd be a little disappointing, wouldn't it?
No, for sure, because, you know, there may be, and I can't name names. I just know that Aaron Glenn knows a lot of the guys here, respects a lot of the guys here. May well have been, you know, that might be something he's doing right now. You know, he's trying to decide for sure on the contract and all that, but make sure he's got his guys lined up as well.
Okay. That's going to really hurt for the Lions. We knew that they were going to have that kind of, pick over. You know, Ben Johnson has gone over to the Bears. Aaron Glenn is going to get a job, whether it's the Jets or otherwise, which, fair enough, here on the 713 said, Godspeed, Aaron Glenn. Right, like that is quite the undertaking if you do want to go and work under Woody Johnson with the things that we've heard recently. But apparently there's also something to pay attention to. It looks like a defensive coordinator, one of their...
defensive line coach.
Yeah, defensive line coach is going to be the defensive coordinator elsewhere. And I believe that was Terrell Williams was also poached by Mike Vrabel to go. So, man, they're losing some staff, plus Ben Johnson will pick over. How likely does it feel like the Lions are going to be to keep this thing rolling?
I think it's something that the Lions have to ask themselves. Well, actually, they're not going to ask themselves. Dan Campbell's going to be confident, try to get his guys. But maybe we should ask the question. I mean, this is how fast it changes in the NFL. Could the Lions already sort of be transitioning into something that they're not right now? Ben Johnson gone.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Glenn all but gone. Terrell Williams gone. Their offensive line coach, Hank Fraley, and that is a hell of an offensive line, reportedly headed to Chicago. That's four of the highest position coaches and coordinators in any organization. Four gone. Then you got to ask yourself, what does Jared Goff have left? What exactly does Jared Goff have left? Could the Lions already be going a step backwards?
I'm kind of curious what offensive scheme they're going to move towards. Mm-hmm. Like, if they just going to bring the hottest OC or former head coach that used to be OC back in there? I wonder what they're going to do.
This is a true, man. It comes at you fast in the NFL.
It sure does, right? And this is why you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have opportunities, that's the frustration that exists when you have, like, a situation where you're a team that has the possibility and then you lose like they did to the Commanders, an up-and-coming team, which, by the way, Vic Fangio apparently talking about Jaden Daniels ahead of the matchup in the NFC Championship game this weekend, said He's a young quarterback by birth certificate, but not by tape. That is high praise.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you look at his number. You look at that number and you think he's a young quarterback if you want to. I've seen him play. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Is what that guy's saying. So, yeah, looking forward to that week. We'll talk more about those games as we continue head to the weekend. But that's around the NFL in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about a Houston Astro going into the Hall of Fame. That's right. One of the three guys that were inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday, Billy Wagner, goes in. Let's talk about that and more next.
Live. So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Finally happened. Only took 10 tries.
Man.
But on that final 10th try, we found out that William Edward Wagner, also known as Billy Wagner, the 5'9 left-handed closer for your Houston Astros, is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He will be going in with a pretty solid class. CC Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, they'll join the guys who were on the classic era, the Dave Parker and Dick Allen. That'll be the 2025 class that gets inducted July 27th into that Hall of Fame. And man, what an incredible, incredible day for Houston Astros fan, and of course, more importantly, for Billy Wagner and his family.
Billy Wagner would, first of all, this is, it's silly, and we'll get into it a little more here, that it took 10 years, you know, for him to get in. He was a...
Take that, Ocho.
He was a no-brainer. Like, he was electrifying. And I think, you know, people talk about the system, and like I said, we're going to get into it, but I think one of the true determinants in whether a guy is a Hall of Famer is, was he the absolute best at what he did for an extended period of time? Billy Wagner was. I mean, there you can talk about Hoffman, you can talk about others, and I was at that stadium damn near 70% of the time, you know, for that era, because I was at the Chronicle writing, and he was electrifying. He was clearly the best closer in the National League for an extended period of time. You could argue in baseball. And it's just it was one of those moments where I kept refreshing and looking to see if there were any reports, you know, if he finally got in, and then there were, and then they had the announcement, and we saw the video of him crying.
Yeah, I wanted to pull audio, but there's not really
audio. It's just him sobbing.
It's just him sobbing. Which, by the way, I wish that this was a video medium so I could show you what I'm talking about. But if you watch the video, one, you're moved by clearly how much it means to him, and two, I don't know why I went here. I was like, hey man, he still got the base.
I feel like
if you get him up on the mound, if you get him up on the mound, I feel like he could still find the power within that base to hit 100 if he wants to.
You would go into that stadium, and after he threw a pitch, all eyes would immediately go to the, you know, how fast was it? I mean, he would hit 102. I remember I saw him hit 103. Left-hander, which the ball, as everybody will tell you, automatically moves anyway. He didn't really have to throw any other pitch. You know, left-hander fastball has an incredible movement on it. He was a no-brainer Hall of Famer, which leads to the question of what took so long. It's just silly.
Yeah. Before I get there, I do want to make sure that one of the things I love about baseball is that the numbers do not deviate too far from like the play, right? There's these other sports, it's tough, man. Football, you can easily see a player where it's like, yeah, but you got to be there to understand it, right? Yeah. Basketball, there's some of those guys where you go, yeah, the numbers are there, but you got to be there to understand it. Mm-hmm. The numbers in baseball are going to give you a good indication. And I was alluding to some of this, right? Some of the things, he's now the ninth pitcher in the Hall of Fame who was primarily a reliever. So we're seeing relievers get their due here, which I appreciate when it comes to trends. And we'll talk some of the trends that it feels like this this induction class might be pointing to. Mm-hmm. 225 of his career, 422 saves were in his nine seasons with Houston. A 2.31 career ERA.
Think about that.
And a 1.00 whip. Those are the lowest amongst retired lefties mm-hmm. in the live ball era. So, like, boom, that is huge, right? You go to some other ones. His 187 opponent average and his 588 opponent OPS are the lowest since the year 1900.
Yeah.
And then also 11.9 strikeouts per nine innings is the best in MLB history. Like, these are things that are undeniable for
undeniable.
Him. As a left-handed pitcher and now one of only nine relievers in the Hall of Fame.
And if you want to do a little personal, homework assignment, Mariano Rivera, people say greatest, closer of all time, right?
Yeah, 2019 inductee.
Compare Billy Wagner's numbers to his. Not only are they comparable, they're better in a lot of cases. So it was kind of silly. I was kidding around earlier with you guys. Did you know that his first ballot, his first year on the ballot, he only got 10% of the votes? 10%. And now what it was, 84, 80-something to finally get in and get past that 75% through. He didn't have more saves from the first year on the ballot to the save. He didn't play any games. Like, it's just silly that you can't, they have this standard, and baseball writers are, as I mentioned earlier, just conceited, and they think they're the keepers of the game, and, does he deserve it, and all this other stuff, and he has to wait, he has to wait. That's silly. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not.
Well, I feel like but then also, the fact that people try and
they punish him. Well, he's got to wait.
It's weird.
Why does he have to wait?
But I also think that inherently, because of the way that the system works, that I don't necessarily put as much into it took a certain amount of time for people to get
but
it.
But Billy Wagner, this is where I would argue with you on
is that. He's good enough that.
This is where I would argue with that point. And I get your point, and I've heard it a million times, whatever. He was this close to not being a Hall of Famer. And as I just mentioned, he compares extremely favorably to Mariano Rivera.
Sure.
So he to have a chance, that's why he was weeping. This was it.
Yeah.
If he didn't get in, that's it.
It was going to be it. Eventually, you can maybe end up in the classic era, but that's much delayed.
That's criminal.
And I really hate, I hate that dudes have to end up on the classic era, because a lot of times, there's dudes who, they don't get a chance to get their flowers when they should. And that's what the Hall of Fame, I think, largely is. I understand it's a keeping of the game and telling of the stories that made the game into what it is. But I think there's also an appreciation for, man, you're giving these dudes their flowers.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess being considered amongst the Hall of Famers matters in a large degree, too. Mm-hmm. I was watching MLB Network yesterday just because, you're in that space.
Yeah.
And you talk about just the number of kids that play baseball in this game, in this nation. And you pair that down to the people that can actually play in college at a high level, and the people that will play in the minors, or the people that will be drafted, and then the people that will be MLB star, make it to the bigs.
Sustain it.
And the people that will sustain it. And then the people that will ultimately be considered for the Hall of Fame. That pool gets so much smaller. Mm-hmm. So even just being considered, but now he gets to be one of the few that were in there. He goes in with Ichiro Suzuki, who gets 393 of 394 votes. So he falls one short of being unanimous. He joins, Derek Jeter in that honor of falling one short of unanimity. And the only one who has been unanimous to this point is Mariano Rivera. Like, how does that hit you? Because I feel like everybody immediately jumped on the witch hunt of who did it?
Yeah, well.
Who did it?
Well, it hits me like this. First of all, those ballots can be anonymous. I've been a Hall of Fame, baseball Hall of Fame voter.
That's right.
I stopped voting about 3 years ago, kind of because I hate the process and I hate the silliness of it all. So I begged out. And what they do is there's on the form. It used to be a handwritten form. Now it's electronic.
It electronic now? I thought they still do a handwritten.
Well, I'm assuming. Maybe that's a big assumption.
I'm pretty sure they still do it handwritten.
It used to, because I've seen the pictures of the handwritten, but I thought that was just for whatever.
I think they still do it handwritten.
Okay,
baseball, man.
Either way.
Be real traditional about this.
There's a box at the bottom of the ballot that says, would you want your ballot to be made public? And you can click yes or no. A lot of people can click no or check no. That's dumb. That's dumb. Because that's just another part of the process that's just, it's incredible. For Ichiro Suzuki, you talk about numbers. For Ichiro Suzuki to not be unanimous, that is, and I'm not trying to be dramatic here, that's like Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth not being unanimous. Oh, by the way, they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, the only
just imagine somebody saying, nah.
Not Babe Ruth.
Nah. Literally, the only one who has been unanimous is Mariano Rivera, Rivera. Now, you talk about kind of the ridiculous, you know, portion of this. One of the things that I've been strong on, and I know there's going to be maybe more traditionalists that are like, no, they feel strongly about it, is like the steroid era and the ways that they have been blackballed in some ways or seemingly blackballed, but not exclusively, because there's dudes that have been in that era that have made it through that have also had like suspicions at the very least that have gone in. It feels like it's, do you like this player or not? But still, does it feel like we might be having a shift there? Because Carlos Beltran fell 19 votes short of induction with a 70.3%. And then also Andrew Jones. Well, Andrew Jones doesn't fall in. But also Andy Pettitte had a big rise as well in voting. Now, of course, he didn't immediately get to a place where he was like really, really close. But he did have a big jump. Does it feel like you're getting a new pool of voters in that are maybe less inclined to do the blackballing on the steroids era? And maybe we'll see some guys get in?
100%. It's almost like they say, and this goes back to the conceit of some of the old voters and maybe some of the new voters saying, I don't care. I think it's a combination of that. I think some of the conceit of the old voters is he's done his time. I'll start voting for him now. He hasn't thrown another pitch. He has not thrown another pitch.
I just don't understand that, man.
Yes.
It's like, this ain't the Supreme Court, man, where he's like, all right, he did his time, so we get vote for him now.
Yeah.
He still got the same career.
And he still was implicated in the Mitchell report and all that stuff.
It's all, nothing changed.
Nothing has changed, but we showed him, and now we'll vote for him. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, and even if that person do make the Hall of Fame, it's still the same thing. And
everything is the same.
Like, it's nothing tainted.
Everything is the same. It drives me nuts. And actually, we're talking about on the question of the day, you know, that what really is your kind of
sports hate?
Sports hater opinion.
I almost put this, but I don't think it's just hater. I think it's legitimate. Like, you should hate the way they do things.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I would like to see some of those get in, although I will say, in looking at the tracker again, of the voters' ballots that we know, which again, that's, or actually, this is just percentages. You had Andy Pettitte ended up with 32% of the vote, so he still got some distance here. Mm-hmm. But supposedly the 2026 ballot, one of the things that makes it tough, and again, this is where the numbers, process matters, is who are the people that are coming in that are going to immediately command ballots that are going to maybe make it so that these other guys that are already on the ballot are, you know, going to be pushed down. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a strong new class of guys on the Hall of Fame ballot. So maybe, you know, you get to a point where you'll add some of these guys in, and, you know, the likes of maybe Carlos Beltran will be able to get over the top. Will you see something grow from Alex Rodriguez, maybe Andy Pettitte?
Probably Alex Rodriguez, right?
I don't know. I feel like people just don't like him.
Yeah.
Like, that is less about him as a player. That is just, he was a good player, man.
No, no, but that's another aspect of the whole process.
Best shortstop on that team.
Is he the best or not? Forget how you feel about him.
Yeah.
Man. Forget how you feel about him.
But you know all these people being their feelings, man. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about that part. They just think what type of person he is. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like, shout out to CC Sabathia getting in, because that's also another one where it feels like we're getting a little bit of a shift in thought process, because that is, you've heard the phrase Hall of Very Good. Yeah. CC Sabathia feels like one of those guys that if you are a Hall of Very Good person, you go, oh, there he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes in swimmingly, 342 of 394 votes. I feel like we might be getting to a place where we're a little bit more permissive and enjoying the guys that gave us joy.
In this game. I ain't want to say that out loud, but I'm like, dang, is he a Hall of Famer?
Like, he really is.
He is now.
He was always good. But
big boy,
like,
gave us, big boy was never, real good and gave us a great time.
I never
welcome
at,
to the Hall.
I never looked at him and said, man, and that is a Hall of Famer right there. Like, well, during his career, always good.
I get it.
Wow, I thought the sports hater opinions was earlier, Piggy. You just gonna bring out some hater.
I remember watching Millie Wagner, you know, trying to be as objective as possible because you're writing a column, and I'm multiple times where I was like, this dude, he's the best in the game.
I do appreciate
he's the best in the game.
Was CC ever the best in
the
game?
That's what I'm saying. That's what made me think about that again. Like, I never really
thought. And I love CC. Yeah. It was one of my favorite players growing up. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I never looked at him as the best in the game.
Yeah.
One of the things I loved is, I mean, we're running up against it, but one of the things I loved is, like, also just circling back on Billy Wagner's story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, D3 guy, dude who was, like, 5'5 pitching, and, like, he fell and broke his arm, his right arm, which is technically his dominant arm, and that's ultimately why he ended up being a lefty. Throwing a baseball, like, just a phenomenal story. And if you know, it reads like a lot of sports stories, just like this improbable situation. Yeah. And with all of that improbability, and reaching the final time on the ballot that you can make it in. Congratulations, Billy Wagner. You are a Hall of Famer. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a trade in basketball that I'm wondering, does this change at all, like, the perspective for the Rockets? I'll tell you what I mean next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Let's get into what's popping here on a Wednesday in the Loop. Where do we start here? Let's start with a little bit of hoops. Your Rockets still in town. I was about to say back in town, but they were home on Monday as well, MLK Day. But they're home facing off against the Cavs. I was doing that thing where I was constantly watching, trying to make sure that the winter weather, this kind of storm that came through, was not going to change anything, and it didn't. 7 p.m. is the tip for your Rockets versus the really good Cleveland Cavaliers. A little bit of a benefit here, though, seeing that, you know, the Cavs, who, again, only have six losses at all in the season thus far, it looks like they might be without some of the guys that could give you problems. If this is correct, what I'm seeing currently in front of me, Isaac Okoro, Evan Mobley, Luke Travers, who doesn't matter, but those two guys, yeah, don't worry about that. But Isaac Okoro and Evan Mobley, two dudes that are deeply in the rotation. Evan Mobley is a starter and one of those bigs that we were talking about with Spillane that could possibly give a little bit of an interesting test or challenge maybe with Alperen Şengün. Those guys are supposedly out for this game. So that could be really interesting.
Mini confession. I didn't see that. I didn't know. You just told me. I saw that they were, you know, there was
day to day
or whatever. But we'll see.
So, we'll see what that looks like. But that could be a real boon for the Rockets in this one. But they need to bounce back after a really frustrating loss where they kind of sleepwalked against the Detroit Pistons. And the Detroit Pistons really just out-efforted a team that has made their money this year on being a high-effort and energy team, this Rockets.
A big-time test, back-to-back, right? Don't they go Cavaliers and then Cavaliers again in Cleveland?
Yeah, they get the little mini, well, not baseball series because they're going back over there. But it'll be that these teams back to back.
Yeah, so tough stretch of the schedule. Incredibly tough team, Cavaliers. If you haven't had a chance to catch some, I mean,
it's been fun watching them, man. They've been playing some really fun basketball.
Really
man.
Good.
And some of that is because of Evan Mobley finding the way to, you know.
No, that would be a big hit.
They've been using Evan Mobley kind of how Golden State used Draymond Green.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's been a really good hub and facilitator.
Just imagine him bringing the ball down court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes some things tough.
Yeah. Getting that ball in the middle of the floor as well. Amen Thompson should be obviously good for this one. So we'll be a good one to watch tonight. Interestingly enough, looking on ESPN, and, you know, these are not the exact necessarily. Apparently, you get tickets as low as $4. And I was like, oh, okay, so y'all scared of the cold too, huh? Y'all not trying to be outside here, are you?
But that's pretty good. I would highly recommend.
Yeah, this is going to be a big time.
Highly recommend.
Big time matchup of the top teams in the league. So that one's happening tonight. A game that isn't happening tonight, the Pelicans, they have had their game postponed, Pelicans Bucks in New Orleans. And the only reason I mention that, not like anybody is particularly concerned about that game exactly, but that game is postponed because New Orleans has had a crazy amount of snow. I thought at one point yesterday they had gotten 10.5 inches of snow. Or 10 inches, which smashed an all-time record of 8.2 inches in 1895. Why is there so much snow down here?
Who measured
Florida
that?
Got snow?
Who measured the 8.2 in 1895?
Hey, they had rulers.
How did that
get? They had rulers? Yeah. But you ain't think they had rulers back then?
Yeah, that looks about 8.2 to me. This is incredible. I mean, all did y'all see Florida?
Did y'all see the pictures of Bourbon Street?
Bourbon
snow,
Street?
Yes. And they were having a snow fight. Yeah. And, I think someone on social media put this perfectly right. If I get hit with a snowball from Bourbon Street, just cut my whole face off. Like, do you know how nasty, like, the actual, like, Bourbon Street itself is? Like, it is a phenomenal place. Don't get me. I enjoyed the hell
throw
out of
up, all type
oh,
of.
Oh, God.
You picking up stuff off the floor on Bourbon?
Why is that snow not white?
Yeah. On Bourbon Street? And then you're throwing at people?
Yeah.
That's grounds for a fight.
My favorite is Louisiana Cajuns doing Louisiana Cajun thing. I saw some dude in an airboat over the snow. Just doing spins. I saw, like, someone trying to hit a golf ball on the frozen ice, and they're gonna be some crazy.
Now, I saw somebody, I think it was like an LSU Tigers fan or a fan Tigers account. They tweeted a picture of, I want to say, I think it was Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
their field was filled with snow, and they said whatever team has a field full of snow shouldn't be in the SEC. And then they tweeted their this is embarrassing.
Yeah, it's been a very odd day. Thankfully, around Houston, man, it's things have melted. Seems like the mm-hmm. plows that apparently we
melting
have
and as
the
we
salt,
speak.
Salt trucks that we apparently have that I've learned about.
I went past some salt trucks.
Yeah, I was like, I did not realize we had that.
All right, let's be honest here. Salt trucks and salt, I don't mind. I mean, it freezes here. You know, pretty much every year we'll get a freeze or two.
Yeah.
Snow plows in Houston?
Did not. Well, I'm glad to have
it. You needed it the past couple days.
Okay. How many years has it been since you needed it before?
Well,
hey, it's a new day and age, plows? Man.
And it's becoming a lot fewer and further between, man. So I am happy that they are here, and I'm happy that they're getting these streets together so that we can move around. Yeah. Although I might not be happy when, I don't know, in years coming, if it's like, oh, well, no, the street plows get it. You better take your ass to work. Like, no, I was hoping for a snow day.
No, wait till that salt start eating up your car.
Ooh. Yeah.
Start getting rusty.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one thing I do not miss.
Dirty, man.
Oh, man. You should have seen the car I left up there before I moved down here.
Yeah.
Man, that bad boy was rusty.
That reminds me. I need to go wash my car, I guess. Yeah. All right. Thanks for that public service announcement.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't know that there's a lot of salt out there for, like, everybody.
I see some. Okay. I don't mind.
When I was driving, you could kind of hear the salt in the tires a little bit. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a public service announcement from Figgy Fig here in mm-hmm. the loop. All right. Real quick, we mentioned this a little bit with Spillane mm-hmm. at Spo at 10:40, but it's worth circling back around to. Apparently, according to Mark Feinsand of MLB Network, there is a rumor that Houston is interested in signing free agent outfielder Jerickson Profar, soon to be 32 years old. And I mean, he had probably the best season of his career. Last year, he really has found his level. He's been a good addition, and I'd be interested in this greatly. Jerickson Profar,
upgrade. I mean, absolute upgrade. No matter what you think about his career, you know,
459 slugging, 839 OPS last season.
Yeah,
OPS plus 134. Like that's you just need something in the outfield. I was looking at it earlier. Chaz McCormick, like, hey man, if you just go ahead and wash the 2024 season, if he can somehow like find a level, even if it's not quite the 23 season that you had, but if you could find a level that's somewhat near that, I'm okay with him being an everyday player. Now, of course, coming in with him as an everyday player, I have some concern.
You're on an island there, I think.
If he finds to come back, like that, I'd be okay with that. If you have Jerickson Profar, you can cobble together.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but we'll see if they're able to get that done. That's, of course, just a rumor that's out there that is coming around. This was an interesting thing that I saw around the world of sports that I guess could have a tie to Houston teams, specifically the Rockets. So apparently, there's a little bit of buzz building around a potential Jimmy Butler trade framework that could include the Heat, the Suns, and the Bucks. And the reason why this popped up is because the Utah Jazz and the Suns did a deal, I believe it was yesterday, where the Suns traded a future first-round pick, I believe it was 31, for multiple first-round picks from the Utah Jazz. Now, they're not the most advantageous. They're like the least beneficial of like pick swaps types things, but at least they sent one in, they get three back. Nominal first round picks. They're not the best first round picks. They're not their own first round picks, with which the Rockets are holding on to, or the grip of those. However, this is a number of first round picks that maybe can allow them to make a move to make them better, like this one that Evan Siddery has, I believe I said his name correctly, I'm not sure. Apologies to Evan if that's wrong. But that has been proposed that would send Jimmy Butler to the Suns to join Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And then that would send Bradley Beal to Milwaukee, where he has said, or the report is, that he would be willing to waive his no trade clause, the thing that makes this really tough, to go there. And then Chris Middleton would go from Milwaukee to Miami, and you know, they would take some salary, it would take some deal, but that would be the framework of the deal. And the reason why this could be interesting for the Rockets, the Rockets are holding on to those Suns picks, and they're valuable if the Suns are not good and they want to go, all right, we're ready to tank. Can you give us our picks back?
That's the key part, right?
Right.
They're not ready to tank.
It doesn't seem like it.
That's the most key part, right?
Yeah,
there.
They're still trying to win. Yeah.
They are still trying to win. And I don't know. I'll ask you guys, do you think the Jimmy Butler added to the Suns? It feels like a real boom or bust play, but it feels like it has a possibility of really helping them out and getting out of the doldrums that they've been in.
I think it's exactly what we just talked about. I think they're not ready to tank. I think Jimmy Butler, I mean, he's so done.
Tom Ball's own.
Yeah, but he's so done with Miami. I think it would energize him. Playing with those other guys would absolutely be a threat. No, I think it would help them. I don't know how much it would help them, but I think it would.
I think they could get in the playoffs and maybe make some noise. I don't know if they're going to reach the finals, which I think they're trying to do, but I don't think they're going to reach the finals, but I think they could kind of give some teams some problems in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that this absolutely could take them to a better place, and I was really hoping. And maybe this is the hater situation. I was really hoping that they would just get to a place where they fell behind, they kept losing ground, and looked up and went, hey.
Now or never.
This thing is just not going to come together.
Yeah.
Let's blow this thing up and get those first round
picks. Oh, you're hoping
back.
For the opposite.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. I'm trying to feast off of the corpse that is the Phoenix Suns, right? That is why you go and you get their first round picks. You're hedging or you're betting against their success, and you're betting that they will go to a downward place where those first round picks become even more valuable and you can extract that value from them. Seems like they might be moving away from that. The deal isn't done, but it looks like things are being put in place for them to try and go get Jimmy Butler. Now, the funny thing about that, though, Jimmy Butler, now he has like the option for the $50 plus million next year, which I imagine he would opt into. But what happens if they trade for him and it goes awry, as it can be sometimes with Jimmy Butler? Now we back in business.
Yeah, well, you are. But
now we back in business on this being in a bad place that you can use those first.
Yeah, might be a little bit too late, though, in the game, because they're going to let this run. They're going to see what they can do.
Who, the Rockets?
No, the Suns, with Jimmy Butler if he's there.
But they can still, I mean, I think it's still a chance they could be a bad team.
That's what we're doing.
Where they probably is in the play-in, whatever tournament or whatever.
Like the Rockets, you just hold on to those draft picks and see what happens, right? Because there's still that possibility. But I'm talking about from the Suns' perspective, they're not going to blow it up anytime soon.
Nah, they're not blowing, not this year.
Yeah.
Not this year. And the thing I still hope for, maybe next offseason. Mm-hmm. Hey, talk to me in the offseason, see what we can make happen there.
Yeah.
But I found that to be an interesting thing that's happening there. And that's what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I do want to remind you that coming up in this next hour, in the noon o'clock hour, you'll have a chance to win 4 tickets to the Houston Automotive Show, which is happening January 29th through February 2nd at NRG Center. I was about to say NRG Stadium, but at the NRG Center. So keep it locked here. We'll be giving away those tickets all week long, but of course in the next hour as well. And shout out to the 832 who said, hey, remember that the city of Houston borrowed those snow plows from our neighbors to the north. So we saw this coming.
I would hope
Yeah.
Well, you just don't want to have the down payment.
Why?
You don't want to have the plow note.
Hey, they could just buy like 10 of them and just keep them around.
Why?
Because it'd be happening.
Yeah.
Once every 20 years?
You don't got to get ready to stay ready, Lopez. That's a principle.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's revisit the Texans season this way. What were the moments that defined this Texans season? 713-572-4610. Let's revisit the season through specific moments. We'll do it next.